your mountains, deserts, and streams. Rise of Dos Cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams.
This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading from Arizona Highways. From the April 2025 issue of Arizona Highways, Arizona Highways magazine is celebrating its 100th anniversary with the April 2025 issue. This article is entitled 100 Years Milestones. Previously, I read milestones 1 through 53, so today I'm starting with milestone 54. Arizona Highways Products, January 1957. In 1957, we continued to expand our product line. To our many new acquaintances who have joined us this year, an announcement in our January 1957 issue read, "We are proud to offer these Arizona Highways byproducts as gift suggestions. We believe you will be proud to give to your very special friends. These gifts, as always, uphold the high standard of quality maintained by Arizona Highways. If we may be of assistance to you on any gift occasion, we will be most happy to give prompt and proper attention to your order." Among the new products were bound volumes, single-issue binders, and framed reproductions. The pitch for the latter reads, "Available by popular demand, color reproductions that have appeared in Arizona Highways. These four selections are matted and mounted under glass in attractive blonde wood frames." Milestone 55, Los Niños, November 1957. Ted DeGracia made many memorable paintings. His most famous, Los Niños, made its worldwide debut in our November 1957 issue. At some point in the subsequent months, that issue found its way to the United Nations. Then, in September 1960, we got a letter. It was signed, Mrs. Howard Edmonds, Art Director, UNICEF, Greeting Card Fund, United Nations, New York. As you know, her letter begins, "The UNICEF Greeting Card Fund has been fortunate in receiving permission to reproduce as a greeting card this year a design which appeared in Arizona Highways. We are grateful to you for releasing the reproduction rights and to the artist, Mr. Ettore Ted DeGracia, for contributing his lovely design, Los Niños. The dancing children in the painting," the artist said, "are from different places and they're all doing very well together." By the time the holiday season was over in 1960, millions of Los Niños cards were sold around the globe, making Mr. DeGracia, at the time, the most reproduced artist in the world. Milestone 56, the Sedona issue, May 1959. You wouldn't know it by looking around today, but in 1959, Sedona was still a small town. In May of that year, we published our first ever issue fully dedicated to one of our very favorite places. "Our concern and our pleasure," this issue, editor Raymond Carlson wrote, "is to devote our pages to the most radiant of all the Red Rock areas in the state, or any state for that matter, the Red Rock country of Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon. Many travelers with knowledge of the grandeur of Grand Canyon, the massiveness of Zion, and the spired resplendence of Bryce consider the Red Rock country of which we speak the most radiant of all, with an intimacy and warmth not possessed by the others. The photos in that issue offer a wonderful glimpse as how it used to be. Since then, so much has changed, which would surprise our editor, who ended his column with this: the country is a building up, but the country is so big it'll never get too crowded or lose its neighborliness and friendliness." At least he was right about the second part. Milestone 57, Children's Books, November 1961. By the early 1960s, we'd mastered the art of combining ink and paper to make magazines, and we figured it was time to try our hand making books. So in a November 1961 issue, we unveiled our first attempt. Arizona Highways has always had a special meaning for its readers. A story written by our book publisher in Indianapolis begins, "In its pages, one finds spectacular beauty and informative reading presented in an arresting manner." The staff of the David Stewart Publishing Company, responding to this unusual material, is creating a special series of children's books based on articles which have appeared in Arizona Highways and using the extraordinarily beautiful pictures for which the magazine has become justly famous. The series will be titled Nature Adventure Books. The first four books in the series were Water and the Thirsty Land, Nature's Lumberjack, Wapiti, King of the Woodland, and Our Indian Heritage, Arts That Live Today. Milestone 58, Ranch Wife, September 1962. Not our reader, our editor, or anyone else could have imagined how beloved a first-person narrative about ranching would become. But readers loved it, including Mrs. Samuel Nelson Pickard of Neenah, Wisconsin. Ranch Life by Joe Jeffers in the last September's issue is superb, and the illustrations by Ross Santee are delightful, as his things always are. When I'm reincarnated, I want to be a ranch wife. That was just one of many letters. Judging from the response of our readers, editor Raymond Carlson wrote, "We have never published an article that was received with such enthusiasm. We are proud to inform our readers that Doubleday & Company, one of America's most distinguished publishing firms, has approached Mrs. Jeffers to do a book on her life as a ranch wife. We'll keep you informed of developments." The book was released in the fall of 1964 and was just as popular as our magazine story. Milestone 59, Back Home Again, July 1963. In 1950, the W.A. Kruger Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, won the bid to produce the color pages of our magazine. 13 years later, our bond would grow even stronger. Apparently, editor Raymond Carlson wrote, "The W.A. Kruger Company officials had been reading our magazine and were captured by its siren's lure because they became deeply interested in Arizona and Arizona's future. So much so, in fact, they purchased control of the Tyler Printing Company, a long-established Phoenix printing firm, and brought big league printing to Phoenix. Result, a handsome new building and some of the finest printing equipment manufactured in America today." Added result, this publication, previously printed out of the state, color in Milwaukee, black and white pages in Los Angeles, has come home to stay, and we feel it will be bigger and more colorful than ever before. That issue, which featured Ray Manley photographs on the front and back covers, was the first to be fully printed in Arizona since 1939. Milestone 60, Tim Kelly, November 1963. In our long history, only one contributor was ever introduced to our readers as a 30-year-old bachelor. In Playbill, Tim Kelly was described as the most published playwright in America, a Yale graduate who moved to Phoenix and eventually wrote more than 300 comedies, dramas, one-act, mysteries, melodramas, children's shows, and musicals. His first piece for us was a profile of renowned Scottsdale artist Philip C. Curtis. "He takes a detached view of life," the bachelor wrote, "observing and studying those things that attract his imagination, and he has no hesitation in frankly stating that he has slight interest in the work of his contemporaries. His creations are of and by himself detached to such an extent that one finds it not difficult to imagine that Curtis came upon his house on the Scottsdale desert, found it stocked with paint, canvases, brushes, and assorted supplies, and thus began to paint." Tim Kelly would become one of our editor's favorites, and the bylines quickly piled up. Milestone 61, Blacklisted in the Soviet Union. On February 7, 1965, the New York Times broke the news and put us in the international spotlight. According to the Times, Soviet officials had determined that Arizona Highways was ideologically subversive and that it propagandize the American way of life. In addition, we were considered provocative literature clearly intended to conduct hostile propaganda among the Soviet people, and so we were blacklisted. Tisk tisk, Ivan, our editor Raymond Carlson wrote in response in our May 1965 issue. "Things have changed since old Joe Stalin sat in the driver's seat in the Kremlin. Old Joe was on our mailing list for years with no repercussions, and his daughter was a self-paid subscriber. In addition to the hundreds of letters we received from supportive readers around the world, business leaders and politicians across the country came to our defense. When asked about the magazine's moment in the international spotlight, Mr. Carlson was humble. 'It just goes to show that our little magazine gets around,' he said. 'Frankly, I'm delighted that the communists have placed us in the same league as Robin Hood and Disneyland.'" Milestone 62, The Sound Classic, October 1965. "Of all the new products we released in the 1960s, the most unique was the Arizona Highways Sound Classic. Here's how it was built. Here is an audio-visual adventure for those who love beauty. From our own vast color file on Grand Canyon, we have selected 70 color classic slides that best portray the mighty canyons in all its moods at all times of the day during all the seasons of the year. Any 35mm projector and a record player with 33 1/3 RPM is all that is required for the full enjoyment of this presentation. One side of the record is provided with beep signals denoting slide changes when all slides are arranged in proper sequence. Side 2 of the disc is without beeps and is in itself an interesting and exciting recorded description of the Grand Canyon. The cost was $22.50, which included the album and 70 slides. Although it was intended to be the first in a series, there was never a sequel. Milestone 63, Scenic Calendars, November 1965. In January 1966, Tennis Imes of Santa Monica, California, sent a letter about our colorful wall calendar. It was one of many letters we'd gotten in response to our thriving newborn. "Calls are coming in," he wrote, "from friends and family thanking us for the beautiful calendars we use this year as holiday gifts. We believe that people will give this new venture a boost each year." On our list of milestones, one of the most important was the debut of our calendars, which were promoted in a house ad in our November 1965 issue. Among the many selling points were 12 selective Arizona scenes in full color, 100-pound lithe effect suede white paper, and the promise that our calendar would be a dignified and useful decorative addition for any office. At the time, our team wasn't sure if it would resonate. "If it is well received," the ad concluded, "we hope to have a new calendar available for each and every following year." Turns out it was very well received. Since then, we've sold millions of calendars. Millions, and the number keeps climbing. Like folded roadmaps and hardcover books, our calendars are comfortable anachronisms in the wireless age of virtual reality and artificial intelligence. Milestone 64, Conservation Service Award, May 1966. In May 1966, we published a letter from Daniel B. Beard, the regional director of the National Park Service, who was commending us for winning the Conservation Service Award from the U.S. Department of the Interior. In addition, our editor, Raymond Carlson, received a personal letter from Interior Secretary Stuart Udall. "It is a great personal pleasure for me to commend you for the enduring contributions you have made to conservation over the years through the handsome pages of your Arizona highways," he wrote. "By means of your magnificent photographs and carefully selected articles, you have stimulated a greater appreciation of nature in the minds and hearts of readers in the many parts of the world to which your magazine is sent. In this gentle and pleasant way, you have done much to create a widespread desire to preserve the things that should be preserved." Milestone 65, letter from Bill Keen, September 1966. One day in 1966, one of the most successful cartoonists in the world and one of the nicest people you could ever meet sent us a letter. "The Keen family, and judging from this mail we received, many Family Circus and Channel Chuckles readers were delighted with the wonderful world of Bill Keen in the July 1996 issue. I would like to thank you for detouring Arizona highways into our home and around my drawing board. Writer Blake Brophy for putting all those nice words together so accurately. Photographer Herb McLaughlin for making us look reasonably photogenic without shattering a lens. And art editor George Avey for fitting us so unobtrusively into the pages of such a beautiful magazine. My own world is more wonderful because of it." Milestone 66, The Art of Larry Toschick, March 1967. Although Larry Toschick had been designing layouts for us for many years and creating a string of beautiful maps, his fine art has never been in the spotlight. That changed in March 1967 when we featured 8 of his exquisite paintings in color and another 14 in black and white. They were included in a story titled Larry Toschick's Wonderful World of Birds, and the response was overwhelming. Almost overnight, Mr. Toschick went from obscurity to international recognition as one of the world's great wildlife artists. When the magazine decided to publish an article written by my dad, his son Tom said, "Along with some of his paintings, none of us could have envisioned the transformation it would bring to our lives. Arizona highways was literally bread and butter for our family through the 50s and 60s. Milestone 67, letter from Vietnam, August 1967. In many ways, every letter we get from a reader is a milestone and a validation. People who take the time to write, even when they disagree with something we've done, are to be treasured. Because of the circumstances, this particular letter was especially valuable. Wherever our duties as soldiers take us, Arizona highways always seems to reach us. We may be in the heat of battle or flying over the vast jungles of Vietnam. The magazine may be slightly worn and weather-beaten, but we manage to pass it on from one GI to another. It is always a great pleasure to read and admire scenic pictures of our beautiful state of Arizona. This brings back wonderful memories of one's life in Arizona. It also encourages us to fight harder for our country. Many thanks to Arizona highways for bringing home to us in this so distant land. The letter was signed CW3 Clarence D. Gatewood, Navajo, Quinan, Vietnam. Milestone 68, My Southwest, January 1968. The average feature story in our magazine runs for approximately 6 pages. In January 1968, Esther Henderson's piece, My Southwest, ran for 28 pages. Plus, she got the front and back covers, and the inside front and inside back covers. That's 32 pages, but even 320 pages wouldn't have been enough to showcase her extensive portfolio. We've always contended she is one of the best, editor Raymond Carlson wrote. In these pages this month, she is much with us, giving us intimate views of what she calls my Southwest. Hers is a treasure to share and enjoy. For her part, Miss Henderson summed up her work this way. Notwithstanding many changes, there is still the blue distance that stirs the imagination, the horizon with its landmarks always beckoning, the native populations that give it life and color, the western winds eternally creating new forms. What effrontery leads me to suppose that I can even begin to capture these values on a sheet of film. I can suggest, and that is all. Milestone 69, Radiantly Colorful Christmas Issue, December 1968. In November 1968, editor Raymond Carlson teed up our December issue. Next month, he wrote, we present what we believe will be the most radiantly colorful Christmas issue we have ever produced. The issue certainly delivered. Including the covers, the issue featured 68 four-color photographs by a who's who of contributors, Joseph Munch, David Munch, Bob Bradshaw, Wayne Davis, Willis Peterson, Barry Goldwater, Darwin Van Campen, Dick Diedrich, Ray Manley, and as always, Esther Henderson. There aren't many words in between all of those photos, just four short essays about each of the seasons, plus an essay about the speed of light and on the last page, a lovely poem titled Last Tree on the Lot. Milestone 70, Fancy Logo, January 1969. There was no fanfare, but readers noticed nonetheless. I have just finished reading your January issue, Noni Alger of Kansas City, Missouri wrote. The Saguaro theme was outstanding. However, having been in the advertising and publications business for many years, I kept returning in puzzlement to your signature or logo type on the front cover. It suddenly dawned on me the Arizona highways was an oil painting, right? How fancy can you get? In response, our editor wrote, oh, yep, you are right. Our logo type effect is from an oil painting created for us by our nice amiguito, Ted DeGrazia, the artist who lives in Tucson. It is from one of 36 3x5 paintings, oil on canvas, in which the artist, a tremendous colorist, swung a wild and inspired brush. Fancy indeed. Milestone 71. So long, Mr. Carlson. October 1971. In terms of content, there's nothing remarkable about our October 1971 issue. It lacks energy and cohesion, and it's clear that the magic touch of Raymond Carlson had long since faded away, the result of an illness that forced him to conduct business from his sickbed at home. Most likely, Joe Stacy and George Avey were just happy to hit their deadlines. Still, it's sad there wasn't a formal farewell from our founding father, the visionary who made Arizona highways, Arizona highways. Nevertheless, this issue stands as a major milestone because it marks the end of an era. As editor of a magazine which he transformed from the ugly duckling of the publication field into a colorful bird of paradise, Mr. Stacy, our seventh editor, wrote in our November 1971 issue, he, more than any other person or agency, has done more for the state of Arizona than is possible to compute. No man has loved his work and his land more than Raymond Carlson, and in return, no Arizonan has received more universal honor, respect, and love than Raymond Carlson. Milestone 72. Goodbye, Mr. Avey. November 1972. A year after the retirement of Raymond Carlson, we lost another of our founding fathers, a man without whom this magazine wouldn't have become what it became. At the risk of being labeled Iconoclast, editor Joe Stacey wrote in a farewell tribute, "We must state that George Avey has never been accorded the recognition he deserves in the evolution and development of this magazine's prestigious status. Since 1938 through 1972, George Avey was the engineer and the builder who took Raymond Carlson's conceptual architecture, and together they built the world's most beautiful magazine. George Avey was the quiet, soft-spoken, perfection-seeking dreamer who complemented the dynamic, outspoken, super-imaginative Carlson. From such polarity came the magnetic property internationally known as Arizona Highways. Too few of us know the degree of nobleness and sacredness he poured into even the simplest of everyday challenges. When you factor in his early illustrations, beginning in 1935, he was an integral part of this magazine for 37 years. Milestone 73, the turquoise issue, January 1974. If you were around in the fall of 1973, you might remember that Arab oil producers had cut off exports to the United States as a way of protesting American military support for Israel, which is at war with Egypt and Syria. The embargo led to inflated gas prices and long lines at gas stations. In addition to the inconvenience, the gas shortage crippled the tourism industry and compromised our mission, which is to help readers hit the road. In response to what was happening, editor Joe Stacey went looking for something other than traditional travel journalism, and he found it. Known today as the Turquoise Issue, our January 1974 issue is focused entirely on the history and culture of turquoise jewelry in the Southwest, and on the cover is a photograph of a bison skull covered with 9,000 carats of turquoise. It's still on display at the Ninibba Gallery in Sedona. The piece was never sold, despite many lucrative offers. The magazine, however, sold out over and over. Ultimately, we went back to the printer 3 times and sold more than 1 million copies. It remains the biggest selling issue in the history of Arizona Highways. Milestone 74, 50th anniversary, April 1975. 50 years ago this month, we celebrated our golden anniversary. Then, like now, the special issue featured some of our favorite photographs and a bit of history. A nice trip down memory lane. In his column, editor Joe Stacey shared his thoughts on how we got there. We think of our 50 years past as an almost incredible journey. Metaphorically, it began on a raft and has touched homeport on a world-cruising super ship. Working with the logbooks and the related records of the 50-year journey has brought us closer to maturity. We are constantly bombarded with queries relative to the how, what, where, why, and when of the magazine's development, and we are asked to expound upon the reasons for its increasing popularity and success. Arizona Highways is what it is today because certain people, circumstances, events, and places have been involved in a never-before, never-again voyage which started 50 years ago. Thank be to God we are now at home port to celebrate a golden anniversary. Milestone 75, Bicentennial Rug, July 1978. In the months leading up to July 4, 1976, the editors of Arizona Highways met with the Navajo Tribal Council and suggested the idea of creating a flag rug in recognition of the American Bicentennial. The rug, to be made by a Navajo weaver, would be auctioned off, with all proceeds going to a scholarship fund for Navajo Community College in Sale. Sadie Curtis, a noted weaver at Hubbell Trading Post in Ganado, accepted the task of weaving the spectacular rug. In addition, Mary Lee Begay, also a weaver at Hubbell, created an equally beautiful replica of the Arizona flag. The partnership was featured on the CBS Evening News, and through special arrangements made by U.S. Senator Barry Goldwater, the 4x6-foot American flag rug was raised over our nation's capital on Flag Day, July 14th. On July 1st, Arizona Governor Raul Castro flew both flags over the Arizona Capitol. Months later, in an auction conducted by film star Rex Allen on December 12, 1976, the American flag sold for $4,000. When adjusted for inflation, that would be $22,100 today. The Arizona flag sold for $3,750. Milestone 76. Thank you, Mr. Stevens. February 1978. In 1978, the last of our 3 founding fathers decided it was time to hit the links. He had earned the opportunity. Since 1946, when he began working in the mailroom, Jim Stevens took a beautiful product and sold it around the world. Under his leadership as business manager, Arizona Highways shattered the boundaries of what a regional magazine was supposed to be. As editor Joe Stacy said, Jim was the financial and distribution genius who made the magazine click. The numbers speak for themselves. When Mr. Stevens came on board, our paid circulation was 77,000. When he retired, it was more than 700,000, an increase of more than 800%. As a result, our gross business volume increased as well, from 250,000 annually to more than 7 million when he left. Milestone 77, Walpi at sunset, September 1980. When we published Jerry Jacka's exceptional photograph of Walpi Village in June 1973, it didn't get much fanfare. Sunset on the first mesa village of Walpi, the caption read, as it was in the beginning. But wow, what a photo. It was kind of my hallmark picture, Mr. Jacka said. I contacted the village chief and he allowed me to take the photograph. I wanted to set up a tripod, but he wouldn't let me. He was in the car with me, so I just leaned out the window and shot it. I was going to turn around and take another one, but that was it. I was surprised it turned out. I got lucky. A few years later, in September 1980, we ran the photo again, but it had a much different look. The transparency was starting to fade, Mr. Jacka explained. It was getting scratched, and I had a color negative made, but they screwed it up. In hindsight, though, it turned out incredible. It ended up with a golden hue. And that concludes today's readings from the April 2025 issue of Arizona Highways. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.
I love you, Arizona. Your mountains, deserts, and streams rise of Dos Cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams.
If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Log on to sunsounds.org, left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. In addition, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.